Kiss Cam. A Hockey RPF Tumblr story. Written by Cheese with Mai and read by Calicuria. This story features the pairing Sid Gino. This is a work of fiction. We're only borrowing the names and faces of the famous people mentioned herein. Irulin the Obsessive asks, AU prompt for Kiss Cam. How about Gino's at a game and he sees a really pretty guy when they're finding their seats, but he's with someone. He looks nervous, so maybe a first date? A few seats below his, and he keeps looking at him during the game. Then Kiss Cam starts, and they focus on this couple, and the cute guy looks all shyly expectant and tugs on the other dude's sleeve, but he's on the phone and kind of roughly shrugs him off, and Sid looks all crushed, so Gino comes to the rescue? IDK. Cheese with Mai said, I'm so happy! Even if Sid is probably too heavy to be lifted and carried. Sasha says he's been paying more attention to the guy, a few rows in front of them and on the aisle, than to the game, but that's ridiculous. It's just that basketball isn't Gino's favorite game, and he doesn't care about either of these teams, despite Sasha's best efforts to convince him of their greatness. And the guy is, well, he's more interesting. His dark hair is curled against his neck. His shoulders are broad and covered by some kind of thin hoodie that clings to his skin lovingly. He has big brown eyes that Gino got the chance to see when he walked past to go get snacks. A mouth the dictionary definition of generous. And he'd look nervous. Brown eyes didn't seem overly invested in the game, either. Gino's been trying to figure out what he's doing there. It's got to be related to the guy he's with, who's wearing a Bulls jersey but doesn't seem any more interested in the game than Gino, if the way he's fucking with his phone is anything to go by. Brown Eyes keeps trying to make conversation, but has yet to have any luck. Gino feels bad for him. He doesn't know if this is a date gone wrong, or maybe they're just friends who don't like each other very much, but either way, he wishes he could switch Sasha for Brown Eyes. Gino's wondering if he could slip Brown Eyes' number. He's probably on a date with someone else, but it seems like it's going poorly, so Gino should be able to seize the opportunity. When the kiss cam goes up on the big board, Sasha elbows him in the ribs and tells him to look extra sweet. Maybe they'll get picked. And Gino rolls his eyes, ignoring the entire affair. Until it lands on Brown Eyes and his date. Gino scowls. Sasha laughs at him, doesn't even try to hide it. Brown Eyes blinks and looks sideways at his date, who's still busy pecking away at his phone. Brown Eyes nudges him, and Gino can't hear what the guy says, but it must be a rebuff, because Brown Eyes presses his mouth thin and tries to take a drink of his beer. Gino glares at the back of that asshole's head. And then the kiss cam comes around to them again. And again. By the third time, Brown Eyes is scowling, and his asshole date is still on the phone. Brown Eyes nudges him, and his date actually pushes his hand away, and honestly, this has gone on long enough. Sasha splutters when Gino stands up, and then cheers, loudly, when Gino storms down the steps. Brown Eyes is in the aisle seat. Good. Gino leans over and squeezes his shoulder, shivering when Brown Eyes looks up at him, his lips parted with surprise. Gino tugs on him, hard, and Brown Eyes asks, "What?" even as he's standing, moving out into the aisle. Gino plucks his beer from his hand, ignoring the crowing coming from Sasha, and steps into the row of seats to upend it over the asshole. It's only when the entire stadium starts cheering that Gino registers that they are still, somehow, on the kiss cam. He chucks the cup at the asshole and turns to find Brown Eyes gaping at him. Adrenaline gets Gino over to him. He's coasting on the high of the moment, and that's what makes him step in closer to Brown Eyes, touch his arm, and then lean his head toward the big screens, raising his eyebrows in question. Brown Eyes blinks. His smile starts hesitantly, and then widens. He tilts his chin up, reaches out and tugs lightly on the front of Gino's shirt, and, well, Gino leans down to kiss him. The stadium shakes with sound. Centerfold. A Hockey RPF Story. Written by Cheese with Mai and read by Calicuria. When Sid walks into Gino's house, the boxes are just there, stacked to the side of the couch in the living room. They're covered with all kinds of postage, most of it in Cyrillic. The tops have been cut open, but they haven't been unpacked. he asks. Presents from home? Gino grins and shrugs. His hands are covered with flour. Parents tired of my shit taking up all of space. Just stuff from when I'm kid. Huh, Sid says, and intends that to be that. But the box is sitting there just so tempting. He keeps drifting closer and closer, until he's picking at the flaps and poking at the paperback books on top. Gino is telling him about some stupid sound his car is making, and Sid is rifling through his stuff, without quite knowing how he got to that point. They're books. A photo album. A stack of magazines. He's flipping through them. They're mostly Russian and related to hockey. When he blinks. Because that's a picture of him. Sid remembers the photo shoot, vaguely. There have been a lot of them over the years, but this was one of the early ones. He picks up the magazine. It's wrinkled and the pages crinkle loudly when he lifts it. It's been folded for so long that when he tries to turn the page, it doesn't want to be moved. The corners of the page are dog-eared.
Sid.
Gina sounds impatient. And close. Sid startles. His knee-jerk reaction is to try to hide what he was doing, and he tosses the magazine down. It's unfortunate that it lands on the couch and not in the box.
Really, Sid?
Gina sighs, padding over to him while drying his hands.
Go through my stuff. Raisin Barn or...
Gino stops and he looks down at the magazine. His jaw drops open a little, and he says, Ah. Sid doesn't know what to say, really. He remembers reading up on Gino before they met. He remembers Gino's film. He never owned a magazine with Gino in it, but that's probably more to do with the fact that he never stumbled upon one than anything else. Gino snatches the magazine up, almost folds it in half, and then stops himself. He presses it against his chest instead, the half-naked picture of Sid turned towards his body. He grins, sheepish, and offers,
Was holding for friend?
Sid snorts. Your friend has strange taste. Best taste. Gino teases back, and then seems to catch himself, widening his eyes and biting his bottom lip. Sid looks at him sideways, considering. Sorry it's so out of date. I've filled out since then.
Yes,
Gina says, appreciatively, and then chokes. Gina doesn't blush, really. Doesn't have the skin tone for it. But he does reach up and scrub at the back of his neck and take half a step back. Sid keeps his own grin in check through long practice. He says, casually, while stepping around Gina to find out what smells so good in the kitchen,
Let me know if your friend needs an updated version.
Touchstone. A Hockey RPF Story, written by Cheese with Mai and read by Calicaria. This story features the pairing Sid Gino and is purely a work of fiction. We're only borrowing the names and faces of the famous people mentioned herein. Cheese with Mai says, So, every time I look at this one gif, I see angry battle mage Sid with his generals. And that was like, you know that prompt going around about character A butchering their way through an army to save character B? What if Sid were character A? This is my language. And I wanted it so bad. And now I have Battle Mage Sid butchering his way through an army to save Gino. As you do. Sid is in the tent of the wounded when the news finds him. Sir, Bennett says, bowing quickly, his fist clenched over his heart. And he stops. Looking around at the bleeding around them and smiling. I bring news from Hayestown.
There should be no news from Hayestown,
Sid tells him, suppressing the flare of worry in his guts, rinsing his bloody hands in the bowl by his hip and drying his fingers on a cloth that needs to be boiled again soon.
It was to be evacuated days ago.
Bennett nods, just a little. He swallows. Yes, he says. It was. Word has just come. There was an attack during the evacuation, sir. Sid slows, wiping his hands, for just a moment. The townspeople?
Safe.
Sid unclenches his jaw, at least enough that it no longer hurts. They've reached the nearest refugee camp. But, sir... Bennett hesitates again. The Legion you sent. To ensure the escape, they stayed beyond the point of sanity, and... Sid stands up. His jaw aches again.
Old wounds never truly leave you.
He interrupts.
Did any survive?
Most, Bennett says. He's shifting his weight, back and forth. A tell they'll have to work on. It's unbecoming a soldier. He ducks his head. Commander Malkin held the line for the retreat.
He would, Sid thinks,
staring into Bennett's face and asking the next question because it must be asked.
And the commander?
Bennett's gaze skitters sideways and then returns. We have reports. He was taken, sir.
Taken.
Sid tests the weight of the word in his mouth. He reaches out and retrieves his staff from against the side of the tent. The metal is well worn and warm against his palm, thrumming with power.
Taken where?
Bennett is shifting around again. There's a Citadel outpost very close to Hayestown. Sid twists his staff, traces his thumb across the runes he carved carefully into the metal.
Yes, he says. There is.
Where are you going? Bennett asks, impertinent, when Sid steps around him. When Sid turns to look at him, he blanches and shrinks back. Sid grabs his sword belt from the chair he leans it against, buckles it around his waist with a few well-practiced twists, and settles the weight of the blade on his hips. Sir?
You are dismissed,
Sid tells him, pulling on his gloves, tugging so the runes sit properly across his knuckles.
Thank you for the information.
Bennett does not call after him again when Sid steps from the tent. He nods to the hails he receives as he crosses the courtyard, answers the brief questions that are always being put to him, until he is ducking through the heavy doors into the main hall. It is always noisy here now, crowded with soldiers and all the support needed for the war effort. Sid makes his way to the stairs in the back of the main hall, descends the narrow twist of them, to the dark, chill room beneath. The air here always tastes of lightning. Sid nods at the guards that straighten at the sight of him, ignoring the look they exchange when he steps into the silver circle.
Sir?
One asks, braver than her fellow, as Sid dips the head of his staff and touches the points of power set into the floor.
Sir, what are you—
The rest of her question is lost to the sound of thunder and the swell of pressure against every inch of Sid's skin. His ears pop and his eyes burn, and then it is done. He is standing under the night sky, his robe settling around his thighs and wrists, his skin tingling. The stones of the ruined temple he is standing in jump with blue light for a moment, cracking out from his boots, before it sinks back into the bones of the world. Sid tightens his grip on his staff and strides forward. He doesn't have to go far before he finds the first of the Citadel's guards, walking a slow patrol around the wall. Sid breathes in power and feels his palm flood with cold for an instant before he releases the spell, the blast of cold hitting the first guard and jumping to the next two. Their screams escape only as puffs of steam. Sid stretches at his staff, and they splinter as he walks past. There's a strange crunching sound under his feet. When Sid glances down, he finds the ground frozen beneath his feet, a trail of icy footprints stretching behind him. Strange.
Unimportant.
Sid freezes the guards at the gate solid, but he can only aim in so many directions. The soldiers atop the walls see him. One yells before Sid clenches his fist and throws lightning, a bolt that leaves behind the stink of burnt air and an afterimage of bright, blinding white against Sid's vision. He calls up fire to buy himself time to get his vision back, smells burning flesh, hears screams. He draws his blade with the taste of ash in his mouth, feels the jolt of holding it speed up his arm and ground itself down his spine. His nerves sing to him a second later, and he steps sideways, brings up the blade and spins,
feels the pressure of flesh splitting along the edge, and jerks it cleanly through. He loses himself in the melee. There are always new bodies around him. He buys each step with fire and ice and the quake of the earth when he slams the butt of his staff against the ground and pushes. Something hot splatters across his cheeks. He tastes copper on his tongue and smells blood in his nose. His robes cling heavy to his arms. The leather across his back is stifling. His hand aches around his staff. His knuckles are freezing and his palm feels burnt and blistered. His sword arm is aching, muscles fatiguing. He cannot see the pale gray of the blade at all. Sometime after the third bolt of lightning he called, his hearing became nothing but a faint buzz. It hasn't returned by the time he gains the main door, barred against him. Sid throws off the man that has jumped across his shoulders, smites him across the back of the neck and snarls, drops to a knee and slams the butt of his staff against the foundation of the building, pouring some of the pressure in his chest down into the stone. The crack is loud enough that he hears it. The stone rends apart. It explodes, showering Sid with hunks of rock and steam. He stands, distantly aware of the smart of wounds, but they are unimportant. He picks his way across the rubble, slides his blade through the chest of someone that flails an arm at him, and spits the thick paste of ash and dust out of his mouth. At some point, the people stop running toward him and start running away. Sid doesn't chase them. He isn't here for them. He finds who he's here for up three flights of stairs, tucked into the heart of this place. The people guarding this room do not run. They throw raw power at him, and Sid drops his staff, splays his fingers and catches it, the impact knocking him back, barely giving him time to drop his sword as well, shoving his open palm toward them and dumping all the power right back out. His heart skips and jerks in his chest. Everything burns and his vision whites for a second, but he lives. He lives, and they do not. At least not for very long after he scoops up his weapons and finishes it. Sid? Sid blinks. He looks away from the ruin of the chest on the end of his sword. Commander Malkin is alive. Sid had not expected that. But he lives. He's hanging from the ceiling, his long arms stretched to their limits, his skin smeared with sweat and blood. He's alive. Sid stares at him.
Sid,
Gino rasps. Because if he is alive, he is. He's Gino. He's...
Sid, you come.
Of course, Sid says, shaking himself. He frowns over the rope tied to the wall, holding Gino up, and then slices it before jerking forward. He times it properly. Gino drops, and Sid is there to take his weight, grunting and scrambling for a grip on Gino's slick skin. Gino groans against him, his skin jumping. He's panting. His back is raised with ugly, flayed welts. It makes Sid's chest burn again. He smells smoke and has to tamp it down.
I have you,
he promises, when Gino's head hangs heavy for a moment.
I have you.
Gino nods. Sid sees the edge of a smile on his face and doesn't understand that at all. It doesn't matter.
Can you walk?
He asks, and Gino nods again. He hisses when he steps forward and keeps most of his weight on Sid, but they make forward progress, back the way Sid came. Gino curses softly, lifts his head as they walk through the open halls, turning and blinking as though confused.
Where are everyone else?
He asks, as Sid is getting them down from the stairs. His voice sounds raspy and painful. Sid should have brought water.
There is no one else,
Sid says, distracted. The stone is slick with blood. They must be careful. Gino makes a small sound. He shakes like he's laughing. He doesn't see anything else while they make it out of the building, though he sucks in a breath when they make it to the courtyard. He whispers,
God, Sid.
We're almost there, Sid tells him, his mind on getting back to the imprint he left in the old temple. Just hold on. The imprint is undamaged. Sid lets out a little breath of relief and pulls Gino onto it, holds him a little tighter so he can flood it with power, the effort far greater than it should be and dizzying, and then they are riding the storm.
Oh my gods!
Someone exclaims when Sid's head is busy with power. Sid turns toward the sound, tightening his grip on Gino and stretching out his staff, and the woman yells,
Sir! Sir, you are home! Sir, please!
Sid blinks away the spots in his vision, enough to see the pale face of the girl currently trying to press herself through the wall. Sid nods to her, frowning at the shimmer of heat around his staff, and starts dragging Gino forward again. The girl throws herself sideways. The other guard makes a yelping sound and scrambles backward as well. Sid ignores them, ignores everything but the steadily weakening grip Gino has on his shoulders. Sid hauls them up the stairs and is met with a flood of yelling as soon as he reaches the main hall. People are rushing forward, and Sid shifts his staff, feeling Gino shiver against him when the temperature drops around them. But no one touches them, not the entire way to the tents of healing. Sid drags Gino all the way there, until he can smell the clean scent of lemon. There are people clothed in brown and white hurrying toward him, but they sound considerably less panicked than everyone else has. Sid tries to focus on them, but he is weary beyond the bearing of it. He sags when someone takes Gino's weight off him. He says, taking care to make it clear, help him. And then... Sid wakes up hurting. It's the first thing he's aware of. It gets him to wakefulness quickly. Pain is only good for reminding you that you're alive. Sid jerks to sitting, ignoring the burn in his muscles and the sharper bites of pain. Both of his arms are wrapped up to the elbows. His head aches. But he is alive. He is alive, and... Sid, Gino is saying, reaching out and bracing a huge hand on Sid's shoulder.
Shush. He's all right. Be still.
Sid allows Gino to push him back to his pillows. He's more concerned with getting a good look at Gino, anyway. He looks... well. Well enough. He's wearing a loose shirt, and Sid can see the bandages beneath.
You will recover?
Sid asks, needing the confirmation. Gino just looks at him for a moment, reaches over and pours a glass of water and hands it to Sid, which necessitates him sitting up again.
Be fine,
Gino says, once Sid is sipping at it.
Be fine because you, Sid.
Good, Sid says, into the strange silence that follows. He looks down at the bandages on his hands. I'm glad. Gino is still staring at him when one of the healers bustles in to check on them. Not Like a Brother. A Tumblr Hockey RPF story, written by Cheese with Mai and read by Calicuria. This story features the pairing Sid Gino and is a work of fiction. We're only borrowing the names and faces of the famous people mentioned herein. Anonymous asks, if you're taking prompts any time, Sid pining after always a girl Gino, who, as far as he can tell, has always thought of him like a very obsessive and slightly bossy little brother. Cheese with Mai said, with bonus always a girl Hornquist and hints of mutual pining, because I love mutual pining. It takes a few months after Gino first shows up in Pittsburgh for her to settle into grooves with everyone on the team. Sid knows, because he experienced the adjustment period firsthand. Gino went from silent, tense, and watchful to, well, to herself. It turns out, in general, that she thinks she's hilarious. She talks a lot of shit, and she loses her temper on the ice more than is advisable. With Sid in particular, she's prone to shoving him where she'd like him to be, teasing. And Sid doesn't understand how she can call him bossy with a straight face when she is constantly ordering him around. She's larger than life in a lot of ways. Not just because she's got inches on him. And Sid likes the way she fills up a room. He likes the way she smiles. He likes... well, he likes a lot of things. More than he should. Because she's his teammate. Because she's new to the country. Because she doesn't like the same number of things about him. Definitely not the same way. She treats him... well, he doesn't know, exactly. But he thinks there's something impatient and indulgent about the way she acts with him. Something that's expectantly greedy. Then she says he's like a brother in an interview. And Sid sighs and accepts that. He accepts it for years. He watches her welcome the new kids onto the team with some of the same shoves and ordering around that she's always turned on him. She doesn't treat them with quite the same degree of familiarity. He's never seen Gino bully anyone else to serving as a pillow when she's tired, for example. But there's something similar there. Sid contents himself with the knowledge that, if he has to be a brother to her, he is at least her favorite brother. Things continue as they were until they pick up Hornquist, who settles into Pittsburgh on Sid's line with a huge smile and an admirable willingness to clog things up in front of the net and make plays happen. She's a great player. She gives crushing hugs. She clicks insanely well on the line. Sid's thrilled to have her, even as he misses Nielsie. It's just that her being around seems to make Gino act kind of weird. Horny skates up beside Sid in practice, talking about how they might improve a play, and Sid only catches half of it before Gino starts giving him shit about being lazy. They score on a power play, and Horny gets to Sid first, slamming against his side, and Gino hits twice as hard, ridiculously long arm curled around Sid's back, yelling wild joy that Sid tilts his face up to soak him. Horny criticizes Sid's technique on the grill, on one of the last warmish days of the year, and Gino's bringing him a beer, asking him about his marinade and... what? Sid doesn't know what's going on, but lately Gino's turned up her sistering to 11. She's always got a question, or something to say. She's always right there, pushing at him and narrowing her eyes when Sid sighs and lets himself be pushed, though he could resist. It's not until Horny demands, "What is up with you and Malkin?" that he realizes anyone else has noticed it's odd. "What?" he asks, more focused on the television, where Horny is very close to stealing his lead. "Nothing's up." They're quiet for a while, busy with the game, and then Horny is saying, "No, something is definitely up. The only thing I can't figure out is if she said no to you, or you said no to her." "What?" Sid is going to win. He is. He doesn't. Sid grumbles and gets up to top off the drink so he doesn't have to hear about how he's a sore loser. When he comes back, Horny asks, squinting, "I thought it was you. Did you refuse because you're a captain?" Sid frowns. "What are you talking about?" Of course, he doesn't get a straight answer. "You should just go for it." "What?" "I'm just saying," Horny says, starting up another race. "You should ask her out." "What?" Sid is beginning to feel like a broken record. "No, Gino doesn't... I'm like a brother to her." Horny laughs. She laughs for an embarrassingly long time. She laughs so long she snorts soda through her nose, and Sid is tempted to let her choke. He smacks at her back eventually, and she wipes her eyes long enough to say, "No, no, she really doesn't!" And Sid doesn't know what to make of that. He isn't... he thinks he gets what Horny is trying to say. He isn't at all the type of guy Gino goes for. She likes tall Russian guys. Guys who can hold their body weight in vodka and look a bit like angry statues, so far as he can tell. Sid says, "No, I don't think so." Horny narrows her eyes. She says, "Should we bet?" Sid declines. He tries to shrug the entire thing off, and luckily, he has a lot of practice shrugging those particular wants away. By the time Horny leaves, Sid has everything tucked squarely back where it belongs. He doesn't think any more about it, not even when Horny elbows him under the ribs and keeps hissing, "Do it!" at the strangest times. He isn't going to make Gino uncomfortable.
He just isn't. He knows what she thinks of him, and that's okay. He likes being her friend. Her brother. Whatever. It's been 2 weeks when he finishes an intermission interview early and overhears Horny on his way to the lockers. Pigtails is not going to ever work. He thinks you think he's your brother. You need to just tell him. Gina makes a dismissive sound, and Horny drawls. Or you could just keep being miserable. Your choice. Sid comes around the corner then, and Horny glares at him while Gina scowls over his head. Sid grimaces and leaves them to it. He tries to put it out of his head, but that's hard when Gina pulls him aside one day to tell him, I'm half one brother, Sid. Not want any more. He nods his way out of the conversation, kind of hurt, honestly, and confused, because she continues to pick on him while smiling slyly, to push him around, to steal drinks out of his hand with bright eyes over the rim. Honestly, he's so used to her doing as she pleases with him that it hardly seems odd when, a month later, she storms into his hotel room, pushes him down onto the bed, and straddles his lap. Sid steadies her automatically, smelling smoke and alcohol on her clothes. She'd been out with Gonch, asking, Hey, what's... And she kisses him, her hands steady on his shoulders, her mouth chilled from the cold air but amazingly hot inside. It is definitely not a familial kiss. Sid manages, What? But can't remember why he cares.
Not like brother.
She bites against his mouth. It's a long time later before Sid manages to say, Oh.
Massages.
A Hockey RPF Story. Written by Cheese with Mai and read by Calicuria. Please note that this is a work of fiction. We're only borrowing the names and faces of the famous people mentioned herein. Sid has sprawled across most of Gina's couch, because his knee is killing him and this is the only way he's found that's comfortable to relax. Gina drops down behind him, hands full of takeout containers.
You need bib?
He asks, and laughs when Sid flips him off, poking at his tongue. Sid is almost done. Gina beat him, because Gina views eating as a competitive sport. When Gina puts his hand on Sid's calf and squeezes a little. Sid sighs, soft, because, oh, that feels nice. Gina makes a little questioning sound and squeezes again, stroking his thumb down the line of Sid's tibia. Sid flexes his foot against Gina's thigh, stretching his toes, and then blurting out, Sorry, sorry.
Is fine, Sid.
Gina tells him, tightening his grip just enough to keep Sid's leg exactly where it is. His hand is so big and so warm, and he kneads at the muscles on the back of Sid's calf until it feels like smooth butter. When Gina reaches for Sid's other leg, fully pulling Sid's foot into his lap for better position, Sid just drops his head back against the arm of the couch and melts into it. I can, for you, he says, when Gina is just sort of stroking his leg. Gina snorts.
Only thing you do is nap.
Sid wants to grumble that Gina doesn't know shit, but a yawn stops him. Maybe he is going to nap. Just a little. The next time, Gina wanders up behind Sid when he's fixing a sandwich, flattens a palm over Sid's shoulder, and says,
Not here.
Sid says.
Don't move.
Gina tells him, and grabs Sid's other shoulder, before pressing his thumb into the tense muscle beneath Sid's shirt. Sid doesn't manage to listen at all. He reaches forward to brace his hands on the counter, and Gina shuffles a half step closer and tugs the collar of Sid's shirt to the side. Sid drops his head down and tries to breathe slowly through his mouth, while Gina works out the mountain of stress that Sid has apparently been carrying around.
There, Gina says, satisfied. Better.
He runs his fingers up the back of Sid's neck, into his hair, scratches lightly at Sid's scalp, and Sid pushes into it, just a little, before he catches himself. His voice is thick when he says, Thanks. Gina hums back at him. Does 3 times make it a thing? 3 times probably makes it a thing. If not, 4 times definitely does. Sid manages to remain mostly composed until Gino puts his palm over the back of Sid's neck and pushes him just a little forward, and then places his other hand low on Sid's back, thumb pushing against Sid's spine. "Oh," Sid manages, and that's all he manages, while Gino settles himself more comfortably and proceeds to work Sid's entire back over. Sid's skin feels tingly. He feels so pliant, like there's no resistance in him, and it just seems so sensible to slouch back against Gino. Gino wraps his hands around Sid's biceps and squeezes, and Sid licks his lips and makes himself ask, "You going somewhere with this, or..." Gino sucks in a breath. His thumbs stroke over the balls of Sid's shoulders.
"Wants me to?"
He sounds hopeful.
"Yeah," Sid nods.
De-aged. A hockey RPF story, written by Cheese with Mai and read by Calicaria. Please note that this is a work of fiction. We're only borrowing the names and faces of the famous people mentioned herein. Sid takes a bad hit late in the third. It's clean. In fact, when they replay it on the screens, Gino thinks it probably was accidental. But he still ends up hitting the boards ugly, and afterwards he doesn't get up for a second, two, three, four. Flowers out of the net and Prone is dropping beside Sid. Tanger is shoving guys back. Gino hears someone yell,
"Just don't move! Don't move!"
After that, there are too many bodies around for Gino to see exactly what's going on. Sid does get to his feet under his own power, though. He stumbles, and he looks strange, dazed. He isn't moving right. Gino catches a look at Tanger's face and feels the bottom drop unpleasantly out of his stomach. It doesn't improve when Sid is hurried past, down the hall, in the middle of a cluster of bodies. Gino wants to follow, but can't. He grabs Tanger instead, demands,
"How bad? How bad?"
Tanger shakes his head. His expression is strange. "He's not hurt, G." Gino opens his mouth. Obviously he's hurt. They just herded him off the ice. Fuck, he looked so small. "I wouldn't lie to you," Tanger says, almost gentle. "Not about that. He's not hurt. He's... Look, we just need to finish the game, and you'll see." "He's not hurt," Gino repeats to himself for the next 8 minutes. And if he doesn't quite believe it, well, the other team pays for that. He doesn't linger on the ice to celebrate the win. He takes off down the hall as soon as the buzzer sounds. He needs to find Sid yesterday. Sid isn't in the locker room. Gino gets directed off to a private room instead, and he hurries toward it, ignoring the pointed look at his gear. Tanger said Sid was fine, but the tight knot of anxiety in Gino's gut hasn't eased at all. He needs to see for himself. He pushes through the door, still breathing hard from his last shift, takes in Mario. Fuck, if Mario's down here, it must be bad. And the kid in the room, and... Gino draws up short. Sid's hair is longer and fluffier. There's a fullness to his cheeks that the years have smoothed away. He's smaller, not as broad, not as tall. His eyes are wide and his face is pale, and Gino has seen pictures of him like this. Old pictures. "And this is Gino," Mario is saying patiently. "He's one of your teammates." Sid smiles at him, hesitantly, his old smile, oh fuck, and says, "Hi."
"How this happen?"
Gino demands, when Flower shows up and starts distracting Sid. Sid looks nervous and lost and young, and it's killing Gino.
Mario shakes his head. I don't know. I'll need to make some calls after I take him home. Gina? Mario narrows his eyes a little, even though Gina thought he'd controlled his expression. No. Mario says softly, in response to nothing. You're right. Maybe familiar surroundings would help him come back. Tanger is pushing into the room then, and Johnston, and Sid shrinks back a little. Gina didn't think about moving to him, dropping hand down against his back in support, until he's already done it. Sid startles, blinking up at him, and Gina thinks maybe he should get the hell out of Sid's space, but then Sid relaxes, just a little. He sticks close to Gina, through a spate of questioning, until Mario's finally asking him, "Do you mind going home with Gina for the night?" Sid looks oddly relieved. "Yeah, that's fine." Mario pulls Gina aside before they can leave, and says, "Look, just take him home and let him get some rest. We'll see if we can get this sorted out in the morning." Sid is quiet in the car. He presses his face close to the window and stares out at Pittsburgh like he's never seen it before. Gina watches him as much as the road. Somehow they make it to the house in one piece, anyway. Gina doesn't know what to say, not by the time he opens the door and waves Sid inside. Sid stops right inside the door and looks around, twisting his fingers inside his pockets. The coat he's wearing swallows him. He looks so hesitant. Gina should say something, assure him somehow, but he doesn't know how. He goes to the refrigerator and grabs beers before remembering that Sid is a baby, really, and floundering. "Are you okay?" Sid asks. He's closer, creeping forward, looking worried. Gina laughs. Sid is asking if he's okay. "Hungry?" Gina asks, in place of an answer. "Thirsty? Should have plenty you like." Sid stares at him for a moment, before his stomach rumbles loudly and he ducks his head, blushing. He says, Yeah, I guess. You're going to eat too, right?" Gina doesn't feel very hungry, but he nods. Sid watches him through warming up some leftovers and follows him into the living room to sit on the couch. He keeps looking at everything, wide-eyed, but is quiet while he eats. Maybe Gina should turn on the television or something, but he doesn't feel up to watching anything. Sid sets his plate down on his lap when he's done, his fork carefully placed in the middle. He fidgets and asks, "I live here?" Gina freezes, then nods. Maybe you shouldn't tell Sid. Maybe it's weird. But it's too late. Sid relaxes, though, instead of looking freaked out or worried. He sinks back against the cushions and looks around again. There's a smile pulling at the corners of his mouth. His gaze finally settles on Gina, considering. "I live here with you?" Gina nods again, mutely. Sid is staring at him. He tilts his head a little. He's blushing, suddenly, brilliantly across his face and down his neck. I get to have sex with you? We have sex?" Gino chokes. He isn't surprised, really. If he were 16 again, or however young Sid is, that'd probably be one of his first questions if Sid took him home and said they lived together. Hell, he probably would have tried to jump Sid already. "Yes, I'm..." He casts around for the proper word, because boyfriend hasn't felt completely accurate for a while. Not with the way Sid makes him feel, but it's the closest he's got. "Boyfriend." He doesn't expect Sid to slap his hands over his face and whisper, "I'm dating Yevgeny Malkin," before breaking into delighted laughter.
"Sid?"
"And I play for the Penguins!" Gina can see Sid's smile from beneath his hands, impossibly wide and gleeful. "Did they draft me?" he asks, pulling his hands away and twisting so he can focus on Gino again. When did we start dating? How? How's Taylor? How are Mom and Dad? How? Gino laughs, tilts his head back, and Sid shoves him. Gino answers his questions as best he can, until Sid is visibly drooping, and then he makes Sid go to bed, ignoring Sid's hopeful attempts to entice Gino to join him. Mario calls first thing in the morning. He says,
It's all right. I've been calling around, and I just spoke to Yaramir. He said it doesn't last too long. Probably not even a day.
Gino wants to demand an explanation for what the hell that even means, but there's a thump from upstairs, and Sid's voice, his normal, adult voice, calling, Gino?
I have to go,
Gino says, and hangs up.